Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
Herbie, what did Jason say about Anthony?
Condescending, what came to mind.
So yeah. on our show, we host it, as you know, we host
it. It had something to do with like condescending blackness too,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I'm condescending sure. Voice of blackness.
That's what it was.
My I guess I'll call it my day job. Like I'm the football guy here at the station.
A pattern of condescending behavior out of you is what we're finding.
In all these years, we're still discovering new things, I suppose. You're learning more about me. I learned what a P1 was yesterday.
Yep.
It's about continuing to gather knowledge. That's a part of life.
Well, we are so into the synergy of this radio station and pacifying your needs, apparently, to be considered an expert here or top of the line expert at the score.
It's a lot of competition here at the station.
Yeah, right? Wow, man. Wow. By the way, he is Anthony Herron. Make no mistake about it. I am Mark Rohde. This is The Score as we are in for the Spiegel and Holmes show. Today, there's a pattern going on. Yesterday, we pacified his narcissism very simply by letting him let the record straight on things that we, the media, have gone overboard on, our hosts here at The Score.
Yes,
and
yes.
Yesterday, your answer to that question was, you guys are making way too big a deal out of Ben Johnson and all the yelling and all the discipline that he's handing out. So you condescended to us.
All this coaching. You guys are all excited about. Congratulations on the Bears coaches. Coaching people. Yes, that is very exciting.
That was the condescending we got from Big Ant yesterday. And so since he is the Scores football guy, we're going to do rapid fire. Ask Anthony Herron about the Bears. Is there a player or an evaluation that you would like for Ant? We'll attempt to do this in some rapid fire sort of way. We'll see what happens. We did not rehearse this in the least. So one of you guys over there, whether it is Alex Kuhn or Chris Tannehill, go first and show me how the show works.
All right. So I will start with someone who, you know, Ant has something in common with. I don't know if he's condescending or not, but Montez Sweat has also sacked Tom Brady. And Montez, though, only got, you know, 5.5 sacks last year. I know it's not all about the sacks, you know, but I know opposing, you know, defensive coordinators, they know they have to account for Montez Sweat, right? But I don't feel like he's a game wrecker. I know he had some injury issues that were nagging last year. He played in 16 games, but still the production was not there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have cited some of the new additions next to him, you know, on that line that will help him out a little bit. But what do you make of his season last year? And, you know, I know you're not the one giving him the contract, but I feel like he hasn't lived up to it, at least as far as last year goes. How do you see him and his season shaping out, assuming he's healthy this year next to those new additions on the line?
I 100% agree with what you said about the contract, one, that I wasn't the one who gave it to him, but that he, at this point, isn't fully living up to it. You think about that first year, that half season that he joined the Bears back in 2023, he looked like that guy between what he did in Washington, what he did here in Chicago, but that was peak Montez. That's not who he's been throughout the majority of his career. The guy he was in 2024, that's kind of who he's been. So I think in a similar fashion to the way I described DeAndre Swift, the Bears are hoping for a different guy or seem to be hoping for a different guy than what Montez Sweat has been throughout the bulk of his career.
Mm-hmm.
He's an excellent football player, but if you're hoping for double-digit sacks, that's something he's done once in his entire career.
Yeah, that was it. That 1 year with the Bears.
Yep.
That's it.
That was combined between two different teams, led both of them in sacks. It was a historic year, but that was the outlier for Montez Sweat.
Yeah.
He's a really good football player who is not amongst the elite pass rushers in football.
Right. I mean, you go through his sacks, 7, 9, 5, 8, 6.5, 5.5. So you're right. But there is an expectation with the money that you paid him. Mr. Kuhn, did you have a question for the Scores football guy, Anthony Herron?
I do. And I want to stay on the defensive line, okay. Big Ant, and a guy that is, I'm not going to say burst onto the scene, but gotten better in his first two seasons, and that's Jervon Dexter. Mm. And a lot of questions as to how he's going to fit into Dennis Allen's defense. What do you think of Jervon Dexter?
Like his game a lot, and his stature. He's kind of reshaped his body a little bit over the offseason, frankly, to the extent where some photos started to surface of him over the offseason, like shirtless or, you know, kind of having a minimal wardrobe on. And folks are like, man, is he switching positions? Is he got turned into a linebacker or what? But no, he's still a hulking guy. I got to see him on draft night, hung out with him on set over there at Soldier Field when he stopped by to talk to myself and our guy Lou Kanellis. And he's just ready. And it's been good to hear some of his teammates commenting on his leadership enhancing. And I think that this role, assuming he's going to be a part of what's a deeper rotation up front, should be a good thing for him. You remember Roy Robertson-Harris, looked like a guy that maybe that's your starting defensive tackle at some point here. But in diminished reps, you do get the opportunity to play with more energy, to become a playmaker and showcase that consistently. My hope for Jervon Dexter is that having a veteran presence in the room like Grady Jarrett enhances what he does in preparation, which it seems like he's preparing really well this offseason. But then also just being able to consistently play with energy because you've got a deeper group that he's rotating with up front.
You said that people were worried about him getting smaller.
Yeah, like right around draft time, there was a couple, I don't remember if it was Instagram or where on social media. There was a couple of shots of him like in like tank tops or something, just kind of out. He brought a number of his teammates, you probably know this, brought them down to Florida. Worked with a guy named Brandon Johnson, who's become one of the top pass rush skills coaches out there. He's worked with college guys, worked with professionals. And so Jervon Dexter worked with him, brought his teammates down to Florida too. So he seems to be in fantastic shape.
Yeah, well, I'll add two things because he actually, when we spoke to Jervon Dexter, he shared with us that he's bigger. He actually added muscle. So not only did he not lose weight or lose size,
he is carrying it very well.
Oh, my God. Like, it stood out to the point where finally somebody in the group of reporters was like, did you put on? Yep. Yes, I did. And he was like, thank you for noticing. I mean, sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah, because weren't there some, like, initial questions about, like, he was getting, you mentioned him getting smaller, but did DA get a couple questions about him possibly moving out to edge rusher at points?
In Dennis Allen defenses, he has had bigger defensive ends at times. So could I see Jervon Dexter doing that? Perhaps. But he's been a defensive tackle, far as I know, throughout his entire football career. And for the Bears right now, my impression is that's where he's going to stay for the moment. But could he pop out to end on occasion? He seems to have the movement skills to do it.
And what is your problem with Ruben Hippolyte?
I don't know why they felt the need to draft him as high as they did. Love him as a person. Love him as an athlete. His professionalism shined throughout his time at Maryland. They drafted him in a spot where that's a guy you're hoping is going to be maybe a defensive contributor, perhaps this season, if not in the not-too-distant future here. It just feels like they took him in a spot that's the expectation for that slot. And maybe it's that. Maybe that's what he becomes, but that's not, frankly, what he showed in college. What I saw in college was a guy who doesn't necessarily have the most natural nose for playmaking and a gift for tracking the football, like tackles for loss, interceptions. Those aren't things he did a bunch of in college. He was the seminal leader, showed up ready to work every day, helped Maryland's defense get better and better. But he strikes me as a guy who's going to be like core special teamer right away. Sure, but big playmaker in the Bears defense. It feels like, you know, mid-round pick is what you would hope he becomes, and I don't see that anytime soon.
Interesting. I mean, I think about some of the guys that the Bears have drafted in the middle. Like, they've had relative success with guys like Jack Sanborn, who actually was not drafted at all.
Right,
Nick Kwiatkowski, wasn't he a fourth or fifth round pick, something like that? He went on to get a contract with Las Vegas.
And immediately, like, led the Bears in tackles, I think, very early in his career before they drafted Roquan, and then Roquan took his job. But yeah, he showed he's a good football player right away. Ruben Hippolyte, if he was an undrafted free agent, could I see him doing the Sanborn thing? Sure, but you know, they drafted him in what, fourth round?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little rich.
Interesting. Because then I think about a guy too, a more recent vintage, Joel Uibuniwe. Shame on me.
Oh, you're usually very good with that name.
I know. God. But you know what I'm talking about. Number 45.
Yeah.
For the Chicago Bears.
Uibuniwe, I think, right?
Uibuniwe. God. Yeah. So he was a linebacker as well, drafted, I believe, fourth or fifth round, very valuable on special teams, but never really got there as a linebacker. Just to sum it up, what you're saying is, to be valuable, Ruben Hippolyte being drafted fourth has to be a contributor as a linebacker for the Bears, and you can't just be special teams and depth at linebacker. Like that, that's a waste, do you think?
If we assume health for the Bears linebacker position, TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, if we assume health for them, you're still going to need a third linebacker who's a real part of that rotation. It does say something to me about Noah Sewell, for how they view Noah Sewell, yeah, because he hasn't developed yet. He's just been a core special, and he just became a core special teams guy really last season when healthy. So Ruben Hippolyte, I guess, competes with him to maybe be that third real linebacker who's a part of the Bears defense. And I don't know. Like if that's who you're using there, I'm not sure that there's a lot of production that I expect early from him in that position.
Have ye others have other questions before I pivot to my big question? Have you more for their football guy?
Yeah, we can
Anthony
go another Harris round here, I think.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, why not? Ant's killing it.
Right.
He's showing everyone why he's the football yeah guy among hosts.
I'm overwhelmed. I couldn't have done that.
To the offensive side, a guy we talked about with Mr. Butt last hour.
You said it.
Roschon Johnson last year had like half the production as he did in his rookie year. Uh-huh. And this guy, when they drafted him, he was supposed to be like a culture setter. I know it's hard to set the culture when you're not in there. And they, you know, he was the governor. Hey, governor. Like, this is a guy they truly.
Hi, it's Dave.
Yeah. They truly loved this guy coming out. And then he just kind of just not out there enough. Where does he fit this year? And is he going to become a victim of like, well, he's not Ben Johnson's guy, so he just doesn't really fit here. I when he's out there, I do love the way he runs. Maybe there's no longevity in running like that, but where do you see Roschon Johnson fitting this
we're
year?
We're doing Not My Guy Radio, Not My Guy Sports.
He runs with so much passion, so it's invigorating to watch him carry the football because he looks like he's wanting to put a hurting on somebody. He looks angry.
And I like the balance.
He's got the rock.
Like, I remember, you know, the Super Bowl Bears with Thomas Jones and Cedric Benson, two different styles.
Yeah.
You wear a team down and you got the speed guy. Like, I love that style in an offense. Yeah. I know it's kind of outdated to think of things that way, but I like wearing the other team down a little bit.
Thunder and lightning, baby.
It would just be nice if when he got the football and he broke that first tackle that he actually gained yards afterwards. It's like he breaks a tackle and then he immediately gets tackled by somebody else. So for him, like, his role as a running back, unless he becomes someone who's kind of your third team running back and becomes a really valuable special teamer, then maybe that's what he is. But right now, he hasn't shown himself to be a true playmaker. In short yardage, when he was in that role last year, he was really effective on third and one. He's really good at third and one. Aside from that, I don't know what else Roschon Johnson really gives to the Bears offense.
What is it that you do?
Yeah, I mean, he moves the chains on third and one. I'm not saying there's not value in that, but there was a lot of talk about it, especially because there was this swing against DeAndre Swift, because I think a lot of folks didn't realize what the Bears got. The Bears probably didn't realize what the Bears got either. And a lot of folks were trying to figure out, should Roschon be getting the ball more? Just like when Khalil Herbert was here and folks were trying to figure out, should he be getting the ball instead of David Montgomery? Roschon Johnson isn't a playmaker. And I love the attitude. I love what he seems to bring to the table every single day. Hopefully he develops into more than what he's been so far. But up to this point, if that ends up being your number two back that you're counting on, there's a lot of limitations to what he does when you actually give him the football.
It's been a long time, now that you're saying that, it's been a long time since the Bears have had a playmaker running back. And people want it, like, people will say David
like
Montgomery.
Tariq Cohen was like, wasn't it?
That's
was
pretty
it Montgomery
good answer
that Tariq Cohen that, was like, paired like, with.
And by the way, Montgomery not somebody that I would consider good running back for the Bears. Mm-hmm. I never looked at David Montgomery as a playmaker, like as a guy. I mean, solid running back.
Yeah,
talking about a different category, a weapon, a guy that makes a difference.
Okay,
a guy that
like a Matt Forte, Pro Bowl type.
So
of
I think
back.
You're right, though. I think it's Tariq Cohen. I think that's the answer right there.
Oh, like, well, see, and even I was the category I thought you were going with was who's someone that they've paired with the quality starting back.
Now I'm doing a different exercise.
Oh, yeah, because Tariq Cohen wasn't some amazing running back. Like he was a playmaker in space.
He had home
DeAndre
run hitting
DeAndre Swift
ability.
Is a playmaker in space. That's who he's always been, though.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Swift has always been the playmaker in space guy. For whatever reason, the Bears didn't realize that at first, and then they figured it out last season. I didn't have any issue with what we saw from DeAndre Swift because I felt like I understood what he was when the Bears signed him.
Wow.
It seemed like the Bears
more dumb
didn't
coaching
fully understand
is what you're
that.
Saying. Yeah.
And now you pair somebody else with Swift, this can work just fine because he is an exceptional playmaker in space. You get him in space, we're good. That's my curiosity for Ben Johnson's offensive eye and his wizardry is how DeAndre Swift is cast in here, because in Detroit, you know, he seemed to fall out of favor with Ben Johnson. One of the frustrations with DeAndre Swift has been those same short yardage scenarios that Roschon Johnson excels in. But right now, third and one, like I mentioned, that's the only thing Roschon Johnson really excels in. Would like to see more than that from him to really feel like the Bears have something there.
Mr. Kuhn, did you have a final question?
I do.
Big Ant.
So everybody is talking about the left tackle position, right, on the offensive line, but I want to go to the right guard position because Jonah Jackson has missed 22 games the last three seasons. Now, this is a guy that is a Pro Bowl type talent when he is healthy, but the Bears did not bring back Matt Pryor in a whole lot of depth at the guard position. So what do you think about Jonah Jackson?
As odd as it sounds, Ryan Bates still being around, that does give me some comfort there, because it wasn't too long ago when Ryan Bates was the coveted guy that Ryan Poles was hoping would become his starting interior offensive lineman, whether at guard or center or something, just somewhere there near the football. Now the good thing is they brought in guys who are definitively better than Ryan Bates, and so he gets to be kind of your movable chess piece on the interior of the O-line. That, to me, makes for a strong unit, because he's going to have to get snaps at some point. When he was out there last season, he's playing with one arm really quickly. So a healthy Ryan Bates as your backup swing interior O-lineman, that's actually a pretty good spot for the Bears to be in. Hopefully that depth won't end up getting tested so much that you have to go, you know, kind of take multiple bites at that apple. But I think that's a really strong role to have a guy the caliber of Ryan Bates, where you're not saying you got to be our starting guy, but you get that as a backup who could maybe go and swing in multiple spots here, I think you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, actually, you're right. And we've been talking about that on Take the North lately, the podcast I host with Dan Wiederer, about, because we're like, look at the offense. Like, it looks like it could be, the starting five should be better, but then we got to the question of depth. Dan was pretty down on the depth, but I feel like once you know who you have and you know who you have healthy, as, and let's just say it's Braxton Jones, then all of a sudden you do have some pretty nice, I would think, you would think in theory, with Amagaji, who hopefully will have continue to have a full preseason of work and get closer
that
to where
he didn't have last year.
He did not have last year to where he will work his way. Hopefully Ozzie Trapillo is right on the heels of Braxton Jones. So right there you have two guys who maybe in theory could play both of your tackle spots. Ryan Bates on the inside, it's pretty nice. They did draft, and sometimes I still have to look, Luke Newman in the sixth round. I don't know what one expects out of him right there. Doug Kramer looks pretty good on the inside as well. So as I go through it, I feel like it's not where it should be, but I feel pretty decent about
it's better.
Better than it was last year, even though Ryan Pohl said it was historically good last year.
Oh, it's so much better than last year
with
actual proven commodities there. And even at left tackle, Trapillo, Amagaji, we were talking about both of them. Karan Amagaji, it confounds me. Of many things that confounded me about the Bears last season, a guy who had no offseason, wasn't even healthy into early in the year, and to get his first career start, to get that action on the road in one of the more hostile environments in football, yes, out of the 60-some snaps that you play in a football game, there was a lot where he looked like a turnstile, but then there was also, you know, a couple of plays here and there where you could see him holding up one-on-one when they left him on an island. There's physical ability there with Karan Amagaji. We got that first and what ended up being that only look. And, yeah, you kind of hung the young man out to dry. But there's some skill there that has the potential to be developed for Amagaji.
Oh, my God, you are so... The Score Is Football guy. That was so
well,
good.
Well, thank you.
No, that was really good.
I appreciate the blessing.
Yeah. No. Yeah, speaking of blessings, coming up next, we are going to bring in the voice of the Chicago Bulls, Chuck Swirsky, because he is also going to be the voice of the Pope, a celebration for the Pope going down this Saturday, Raitt Field, for which Chuck Swirsky will be the MC. So let's talk Pope with Chuck Swirsky coming up next on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Four.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay.
See, we're in full service, 670 The Score station.
Afternoons on The Score.
How about the Pope Leo, the address at Raitfield?
Yeah, that's huge.
I think it's really cool that Chuck Swirsky is part of the whole process.
I was surprised to hear that.
That's got
to
be a huge thrill for him.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And it's going to be just a memorable, momentous day.
What are you laughing at? I was going to say,
I'm imagining Chuck announcing or presiding over the program in the way that he does play-by-play. Okay. And I'm just imagining that. But he is a very different persona. I know. It's a very different persona. It's a very different job description. And he's versatile enough to be able to manage and handle both.
Hey, man. Look, I understand we're talking about the Pope here. But the Pope is a down and dirty White Sox fan. He's just a fool like one of us, so it's okay. I think he can handle it,
He's a grinder.
He is
the Pope is a grinder.
He is a grinder, so we don't have to tiptoe all over the place. Chuck can be Chuck, is the way I look at it.
Why are we surprised that Chuck is involved, though, Mully? I mean, if there's anyone associated with this station that is worthy of this privilege,
it's like
Chuck Swirsky.
He's a higher level guy over at Holy Name Cathedral is Chuck. I mean, he's got a little power. I'd be careful. This is the Spiegel and Holmes Show.
Yes,
on the
it
store.
Is. Well done, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Along with Anthony Herron, I am Mark Grody. We are filling in for the guys today. There is going to be a celebration this weekend on the south side of our city, a celebration for indeed Pope Leo the 14th, Robert Francis Prevost, as you may know him, or maybe you just know him as Pope Bob, as we affectionately call him here on the Score.
Pope.
That is correct, but this Saturday at Raitfield, starting at 2:30, gates open at 12:30, there will be a special celebration for the current Pope from Chicago, and indeed, the man that will be emceeing the event is the one and only. He is of the Score. He is of the Bulls. He is Chuck Swirsky, and he joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Chuckster, what's going on, man?
Mark, good to be with you. Ant-Man, hope you're doing well.
I'm fantastic. It's exciting to know that you are involved in this event, and there was the picture that began circulating all over social media today of the Pope with his White Sox hat on, just rocking the ball cap. You know, like most popes do. I don't know. I suppose this is one way of him just kind of separating himself from the pack. All these, the history we've seen of various pontiffs over generations and generations, he is the first one, I believe, to don a baseball cap. So he's one of us, isn't he, Chuck?
Well, you know what? I've never met the Pope. I'd like to one day. But in this day and age, as you know, with AI and everything that's going on in social media, I didn't know if that picture was photoshopped or whether it was legit. And so I had to pump the brakes. But then it was verified that the Pope did put on a White Sox cap. Because remember, a few days ago, he put on Villanova ball cap because he attended Villanova. And so it was great to see, to have a Pope that's going to be honored in his hometown on Saturday.
All right, so what are we looking at this thing as being? Is this going to be a religious event that you're going to be emceeing? Is this a celebration of the man? Is it a celebration of Chicago? How would you characterize what the fans at the Rate are going to be getting from you and from this event out there? How should people act out there? How are you going to act, Chuck?
Well, I mean, I'm the MC, so obviously I'm very, very humbled and very grateful. I mean, I got a call from the Archdiocese a week, 10 days ago, and they asked me my availability. And, of course, I jumped at the opportunity to not only represent as far as just the city, but as a man of faith, this is awesome. And so it, as you mentioned, it's going to start at 2:30. There's going to be music. There are going to be a few speakers. The Cardinal will present, obviously, not only himself as far as speaking, but also presenting others. And then about 4 o'clock, there will be Mass, and that will be celebrated at the ballpark.
Wow. Okay. So it does end with the big finale. You've got the Mass going on. See, part of why I'm asking here too, Chuck, is I mean, you have to be, you're not necessarily Chuck Swirsky, the voice of the Bulls. You are Chuck Swirsky of around town of Holy Name Cathedral as a friend of the church. So you're going to be out there. Will you be able to mention at some point in time, because this is going to be like a worldwide event, who knows, it's going to go like triple viral, will you be able to mention the score, maybe the czar of the score, Mitch Rosen, we'd get a little bit of love, perhaps?
Maybe one of the two, and I'll let you decide which one. But, you know, again, this is a situation where, yes, I am the broadcaster for the Bulls, but more importantly, as you mentioned, I volunteer throughout the year at Holy Name Cathedral as a lector and a Eucharistic minister. And so I think because of the platform that I have in that vein with Holy Name Cathedral, mm-hmm. and by the way, the rector of Holy Name Cathedral, Father Greg Sackowitz, is a huge, and I mean huge, White Sox fan. And we're not just talking about, hey, you know, they were able to come up with two in the ninth and beat the Royals.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a guy, and Father Greg is a passionate White Sox fan. He knows the players, what their batting average, ERA, their WAR, everything.
The moment, like, you're talking to somebody and you realize they're on the same level, you're like, oh, let me pull up a chair here. You're talking, you were mad that Craig Council had so-and-so on deck instead of so. So then you find out they're a sports fan. So, well, maybe we'll split the difference. Maybe if you say, see, now I'm torn here, like, to mention Mitch or to mention the score, or I'd love it if you threw Joe Bag of Donuts out there. But I would. Could you imagine that, Chuck?
Yeah. Well, you know, they're expecting close to 40,000. And I think it's wonderful that a lot of people in the area are going to be able to come out. And really, this is a celebration. I mean, if you think about it, it's the first pope born in the United States, second in the Americas, because, as we know, Pope Francis was born in South America. But, I mean, the fact that Pope Leo is one of us, he's a Chicagoan.
He is.
And, you know, just talking with people who grew up with him, he is really an amazing individual, and I think that's what we're going to try and bring out, obviously, on Saturday, and more importantly, hopefully down the road, that we'll see him in Chicago. You know, the last pope that visited here was in 1979 and had Mass at Grant Park, and 2 million people were there. So I'm hoping that, you know, and again, I can't speak for him or the Vatican, nor do I want to, but I'm hoping that one day he'll revisit his hometown.
Yeah, no doubt about all that. So, okay, here, I have just been sent something here to my phone. This comes from the Czar, from Mitch Rosen here, and he actually sent me some audio. What we had, because we just realized this is possible. You can do this, and I understand where you're coming from. I am Catholic as well, Chuck. I've been to Holy Name Cathedral Masses. I understand that's a serious world right there, but we have a template, a way that you could do this. This is from the year 2016 after the Cubs won the World Series, and Pat Hughes has the template on how you can work this in. Go ahead.
Thank you for being here today. My name is Pat Hughes of The Score, WSCR, 670 AM, the flagship radio station of the Cubs Network, and it is an absolute thrill to be here today.
I'm not sure. You know what? I you have my word. I will promote the fact that I am the broadcaster for the Bulls on 670 The Score. So if the Czar is listening, there you go. I'm not sure I can, you know, I'm not sure I can go that deep the way Pat did. But again, you know what? The Bulls win an NBA championship, and the Bulls put me on stage. I will do it big time.
slightly different events, I think is the point Chuck is making right there.
Yeah, absolutely. I imagine there could be some dancing going on. I mean, everybody's excited there. See you dancing just a little bit.
You're
going to
be out there for multiple hours. Who knows? Yeah. Now, I was telling Grody off the air, Chuck, years ago, it's probably been close to 20 years at this point, but one of the first times my wife and I ever went to Europe, we went to Rome, we went to Vatican City, and I got us tickets for an audience with the Pope. At the time, it was Pope Benedict the 16th. And, you know, it's just an amazing venue and just citizens of the world all there experiencing that at the same time together. Have you ever actually, I know you're a world traveler, have you ever gotten to go there and actually do that? Have you been in Vatican City before?
Oh, twice, and it's awesome. And I'd love to go back anytime I get a chance. Number one, to go to Italy, I'll do it. My mom was Italian. Her parents were Italian. My mom spoke fluent Italian, rest her soul. And I think it's just a fantastic country. And there's so much to see and so much to do. And if I get a chance, who knows, maybe this summer I'll be able to get back there. Maybe not. You know, this has been an interesting summer because I'm doing those four Canadian League games. It's almost like a G League in Canada, and I'm going to Ottawa Saturday night to do a Sunday afternoon game. But, you know, I was able to do a public address game for the White Sox and a WNBA game just last week on the Score. And it's been a fun summer. Now we got the draft, and I can't wait to see what the Bulls are doing on the 26th.
And you got the NBA Finals going on right now.
Yes.
Game 3 is tonight. Series tied 1-1. OKC at Indiana. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, you know, I mean, listen, Indiana is having a great run. And Bill and I can testify that, I mean, the way they have come on as a team, I mean, the way Halliburton is playing, but really the key to that ball club is Siakam. He has, and we know he's a great player. He was a great player at Toronto. It's not like he's, you know, a well-kept secret. I mean, the man can flat-out hoop. He's a three-time All-Star. But until they picked him up last year, they didn't have anyone like him. And that club is for real. Now, having said that, Oklahoma City is deep, and they're really, really good. And the best thing I love about Oklahoma City, they've got a bunch of two-way players who can flat-out get after it defensively. And Sam Presti has put together a remarkable team. And, it's going to be interesting to see if I hope we have a game seven. You know, because I love game sevens.
Now, there's no shortage of rumors and storylines for the NBA offseason. Beyond the finals, of course, movement of star players is always something that makes headlines for the NBA. And there's a lot of folks trying to force Giannis out of Milwaukee. I don't necessarily buy that yet until I actually hear Giannis saying that that's something he's pursuing. But Kevin Durant, apparently, they're looking at maybe him ending up outside of Phoenix and ending up elsewhere, perhaps San Antonio or something like that. But to the Giannis aspect of it, do you buy much of that? Do you think there's a chance Giannis won't be with the Bucks moving forward here?
Well, you know what, Ant-Man? You don't mind me calling you that, do you?
Not one bit, Chuck. Nope.
Okay.
As long as I can call you Chuck.
First. You're like really big. You're like five of me.
Can he call you Joe Bag of Donuts?
Good question.
Yes, he can. Okay. Anytime he wants to.
Okay.
Hey, we got a chocolate glazed. So anyway, shameless plug, by the way. Do Right Donuts, the best. Anyway,
oh, okay.
I love to write donuts. Yeah, agreed.
Yes, don't dislike
absolutely.
Them. Yeah.
So here's the thing. If you asked me guys a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago about Giannis, I would have said he's gone, you know, because Milwaukee's window's closing. Giannis is still in that window where he's a primetime player. But after seeing a picture, and again, on the internet now with AI and everything,
yeah.
I don't know what's real and what's not real. And I'm going to be very blunt. It's kind of scary. Beyond sports, forget sports. I'm just talking about, like, what's going on in our country. I don't know who's saying what and whether it's legit. And so I'm being serious.
No, I know. Your fear of AI is righteous. It is. I don't like that you're going to hesitate every time you see something now, Chuck, because of AI. Mm. I don't like that
you.
For
want
you.
Chuck to be comfortable.
Yeah,
is what
I
it
do.
Comes
I
down
want
to.
You to be comfortable, Chuck. I don't want you to be bullied
well, thank
by
you.
AI.
Thanks,
yeah.
Mark. But yes. So I see this picture with Giannis holding up a Milwaukee jersey. And I don't even know if he's in the country or not, but on social media, he like wrote something about like that it appears that he wants to stay in Milwaukee. And if that's the case, and he has not gone to Milwaukee's ownership and management and asked for a trade, chances are they're not going to deal him. Because once you trade a superstar in his prime, very, very difficult to get another player. But in the case of Durant, there's no doubt in my mind, he's played his last game in Phoenix. He will not be in his son's uniform next year. Nor does he want to.
Yeah. Going to be interesting, as will Saturday, the celebration for the Pope, which our guy Chuck Swirsky will be emceeing. And
Put him in the hall.
Put him in the hall, man. Go do it.
Well, he's in the Vatican. He doesn't need the hall.
I don't know. That might be a good question. What's more important, the Basketball Hall of Fame or the Vatican? 312-644-6767.
Did you go there, Mark? Went there.
I did.
I mean, I'm fired up. I mean, it's going to be great for Chicago. It's going to be a fun summer to see the White Sox kids develop and what the Cubs are doing. And you got training camp for the Bears. This town's going to go crazy for the Bears.
Oh, wow. See, now coming soon. That's a perfect spot to leave it. Coming soon. You could hear the sequel music playing right now. Joe Bag of Donuts coming soon to the Score. As you could just feel the positivity building up. Chuck, you're the best. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
That is the voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky. We have to take a break. When we come back, we will do transition with a host of Score Evenings tonight. That'd be Rami Makhlouf. He joins us next on The Score, The Mac.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're cooking with hot grease now, man.
Afternoons on The Score.
Man, you got me down here. Might as well talk about something.
I got something I could talk about right here. I am inviting you to come out to the Lynx Golf and Sports Bar at 2116 East Grand Avenue in Lindenhurst on Thursday, June 12th from 2 to 6 p.m. and take in the first round. First round of action in Oakmont. All right. I mean, you did great over the last 2 days of not singing.
That's Tanny's fault. That's not even on me.
Actually sounded pretty good.
That's on Tanny.
It's okay. Like I said, it actually sounded.
Don't tell him that, Mark.
Encouraging. You're the one who apparently just encouraged him. The Spiegel and Holmes show will be broadcasting live with myself and Rami Makhlouf filling in for Lawrence and Speaks, featuring a special appearance from Chicago basketball legend Bill Wennington from 4 to 6 p.m. Download the Circa Sports Illinois app or fund your existing Circa Sports Illinois app and receive an on-site match incentive of up to $500. Plus, you can take a swing for a chance to win $5,000 with a hole-in-one courtesy of the Lynx. It's all brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. Mark Grody and Anthony Heron wrapping up today's episode. But as I just told you about tomorrow's episode, and my co-host for tomorrow will be the man that is hosting tonight on The Score, Rami Makhlouf joins us for transition.
The Mac!
What's going on, The Mac? He's back!
Gentlemen, how are you? And don't let him discourage you. You hit that note. I heard it. You hit that note, my man.
Trust me. One thing I've never discouraged about is singing live on the air, Rami. That is kind of my thing, man.
It is what he does. But I feel like the dad right now. All right, you've been so good over the last 2 days, not singing over my hot takes. So I'm going to let you unload.
Gotta let him get them hot Cubs takes off. Didn't want to disrupt. I actually tried. Like, I waited a couple of bars late for the note, because I thought the read was going to be over by then, but then I couldn't wait too much longer because, you know, I'm going to miss the opportunity to do the note at all. So I had to do the note.
That is beautiful. It's funny that you mentioned the Cubs. I literally just during the break, I was looking at some of the tweets that we put out there from the Scores account, and sometimes I'll read some of the comments. Mm-hmm. And I had said at the very beginning of this show that even though the Cubs were 4-5, in general, I feel pretty good about the Cubs. Like, I don't think there's anything about them that is chronically wrong right now, even if the offense has been a bit sporadic. So I was positive about it. The first few comments I see is, oh, you like the Cubs striking out 10 times today? Oh, you like them losing by 5 runs? And I'm more trying to look at it as a whole. Today sucked. Today absolutely sucked. But on the whole, I don't think there's any, there's concerns on this team, but not unfixable concerns.
No, I wouldn't think so. And I heard the beginning of your guys' show. To a degree, I share some of Ant's concerns about the offense, and that's kind of where I'm going to start the show. But Grody, more of a concern, and you pointed this out today, was what we saw from Ben Brown and what we've seen from him in the first inning. So, but none of this is like panic alarm stuff. This is I'm worried about my playoff baseball team type of stuff. You know what I mean? That's a different kind of worry. It doesn't mean that you can't worry or nitpick. I'm looking at this baseball team and thinking, well, how can they be the best version of themselves come the trade deadline, and then after that come September and October?
I love it. Well, there's a little taste of what you're about to get from Rami Makhlouf, who is on until 9 o'clock on the Score. What else can we look forward to, Rami Makhlouf?
Oh, we got a fun show. Plenty of Bears. Also, Jared Willis, CHGO baseball writer. He'll be here to talk some Cubs and Sox, who have not sucked for the last week. He'll be here at 7:20.
That's accurate.
And Alex Shapiro from CHSN, he'll be here to talk
Bears
coming up at 8 o'clock. And Grody, can't wait for tomorrow. I don't think I've done a Score remote yet. I think this is my first remote. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Let's go, Rami.
Rami Makhlouf performing in Lindenhurst tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. That's awesome. Well, I know you got the night show, so try to save a few of those hot topics for tomorrow. But, man, I'm looking forward to seeing you out there, brother. We'll see you.
I'll see you out there, Grody. And always good talking to you, my man.
All right, Rami.
That's Rami Makhlouf. He's coming right up on the Score. Don't go anywhere. Thank you, Ann Herron. You have been, as usual, a delight over the last 2 days.
Thank you, Mark Grote.
That's Anthony Herron for Alex Kuhn, our executive producer. He is sitting right next to the audio boss of the Score. That is Chris Tannehill. Thank you, Tanny, for what you do. Thank you to everybody who listened and watched the show today. Rami Makhlouf is coming up next on the Score. I'm Mark Grody.
I thought you guys did a good job. Overall, solid show. I think we've had better, but we made the most of it for sure.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.